Don't snow me, woman! I know what you are and what you know, and... You know that I know it.
True. But why do you want to know how you'll die? Can't you imagine what a bleak secret that is? One that you will carry in every sense with you to the edge of the grave. And then, only then, will you understand it.
He smiled gently, and Emma realized what she had already suspected. Baron Sharp was as crazy as a shithouse rat.
I love knowing secrets, woman. Love them. My friends whisper them to me during the long hours of the night. Oh, I hear them now. They're precious to me. So precious. And this is the biggest secret of them all, isn't it?
Yes, I suppose so.
He still held her with fingers like steel.
So, tell me of my death.
Emma had hoped to be able to barter with Sharp, but it was impossible. Only her certainty that Jack, Doc, and the others would be able to escape to safety kept her from collapse. Her eyes closed, and she allowed the power to enclose her in its dark veil.
Your tongue will turn to silver, and you... You will pass through the mirror into the desert. And from there, you will become nothing.
Tell me it again?
Your tongue will turn to silver, and you will pass through the mirror into the desert. And from there, you will become nothing.
Nothing?
His brow wrinkled.
How can I become nothing? That's impossible, woman.
That is what I see.
Then see something else. Something better that makes some sort of sense.
You want me to lie? Is that it, Baron? I'll lie if you want. You'll die on your 150th birthday in bed with your 6 teenage slut mistresses. That better? More the sort of crap you want to hear?
A tongue of silver, a broken mirror, a desert, and... nothing?
That's the truth. I don't know what it means, but that's all I see.
Well... and why not? We were going back to my collection of precious muties. Find you a home, and you shall be the sun in that system.
Jack and Doc?
They can come or go, be drunk or sober, dead or alive, for all I care.
You swear they'll go free?
I promise you, Emma, my doomy princess, that within the hour they will no longer be my prisoners.
Shit, Doc.
Ryan just managed to divert the murderous blow, though the hissing blade brushed against Doc's left shoulder, making the old man jump sideways.
By the three Kennedys and the one Onassis.
Sorry, Doc. Hey, JB, it's Doc.
So I see. You nearly gave him a new close haircut there, friend.
Said I was sorry. Didn't expect to find you wandering around free, Doc. We thought that the Baron must have made you and Jack and Emma prisoners.
Indeed he has. I should say that he did. No, that fails to meet the requirements of accuracy as well.
Doc!
Of course, Ryan, my tried and trusty comrade. Let me be as concise as I can. Joaquin appeared from the whirling center of the tornado and took the three of us prisoner. He had his men with him, or we...
Sure you would, Doc. Just get on with it, will you?
We were removed to a locked room, our guns taken from us. But they left me my sword and Jack his throwing knives. We agreed that we would...
Blood.
What? Where?
On the blade of your rapier, Doc.
Ryan pointed to the drying smear of crimson.
Kind of fresh, too.
I fear that your sight is all too good. But I put the cart before the horse. We agreed that as the oldest and most foolish, they would guard me least. That was how Jack put it. The Baron was all too interested in Emma's muty skills.
Where are they now?
I have not yet reached the engorging of my reeking falchion. Though if we are to be a trifle pedantic, my rapier can hardly be described as falchet, since its blade is quite straight and true and shows not a curve. Anyway, I begged to be excused, and it was Joshua Morgan, poor fellow, who finally agreed to accompany me to the Jakes.
Jakes?
Bathroom. There, I am afraid that I killed him with a single thrust of my sword. not something I shall ever look back upon with any pride. Only the shame of being struck a coward's blow. It came with no warning, Ryan.
You did the right thing, Doc. Ryan saw that the old man was genuinely distressed at what he saw as an act of willful murder. He put his arm across Doc's shoulders.
I swear you did right. This isn't the courts of King Edwin.
Arthur was his name, Ryan.
Oh. Are you sure?
But of course. Arthur Pendragon and the Knights of the Round Table. Chivalry. A very parfait gentil knight, as the poet Chaucer put it. You know that he wrote...
Dark Knight, Doc!
My apologies. Anyway, I have escaped after butchering poor Joshua Morgan. I have since been hiding and skulking around dark corners. There is no arras that has not enfolded me in its embrace. I attempted to return to our room. I was nearly caught on the way as I saw Mistress Tyler being escorted by Joaquin down to see the Baron. I haven't been able to get to the Lamar and Jack's cannon. They are by the dining room. If we can find those, we could rescue Jack, could we not?
Sounds good to me. Get to the kid and then go after Emma.
Don't like the idea of leaving the young woman. But if we can spring Jack and all get out of here, I wonder if that might be enough. Let the rest lie where it falls.
Doc swung around and pointed at J.B. with the blood-slick point of his rapier.
Shame on you, John Barrymore Dix.
Keep the noise down, Doc.
Sorry, but I cannot just let it lie, as our bespectacled companion puts it. The young woman is traveling the highway with us, and it would be grossly unchivalrous of us to desert her. The spirit of King Arthur would spin in his tomb if he heard you, John Dix.
Yeah, I guess you're right. Don't tell Mildred I even suggested it. She'll just give me hard time, number one. But I agree about going up to get Jack first. How many sec guards on the door, Doc?
I fear that I don't know for certain. There were four or five of them. I think one or two went with Joaquin. But by now there must be some alarm over my disappearance and the non-return of poor Master Morgan.
We'll cross that one when we reach it, Doc. Jack's on the second or third floor?
Third floor, back.
Then let's go.
In a grove of slender poplars, 200 paces from the Ville's rear entrance, Christy waited with Mildred and Dean, both women working hard to reassure the boy that everything was going well.
You saw them go inside, Dean, and they were both faring well then.
But there was a fight, Mildred. The corpse of the sick man's still out there. I went and looked.
You shouldn't have gone without checking with me or with Mildred.
And I reckon I heard a shotgun.
We didn't hear it.
Christy stood to stretch her legs.
You know what your father said?
Sure. Wait until dawn. No word. We move back to the redoubt. Wait there for 24 hours until the next dawning. Then we jump out.
Christy nodded, the moon glow catching the fiery radiance of her hair.
And that's what we do.
Dean grinned.
Sorry, Christy. I can just see you and Mildred walking away from Dad and JB. Sure you will.
In the heart of the darkness, the Ville was quiet, almost deserted. Twice the three friends had to withdraw into the shadows as a patrol of two or three sec-men went by. One of the groups stopped for a minute or so within hearing.
Did you hear? Joaquin's fit to be tied.
Yeah, Josh was a friend from years back.
Looks like it was the old bastard who did him with a hidden knife. Chilled him with a single blow, I heard.
Yeah, Joaquin came close to losing it all. Wouldn't complain to the Baron.
And old Sharpie didn't give a flying fuck about poor old Josh, did he?
No. Too locked up with that doomy slut.
Where's he taking her?
Down to the zoo.
Well, Joaquin was pissing steam when he came back up the stairs. Said Sharpie was off on his mental wanderings. Couldn't get no sense from him. And just shooed Joaquin away like he was some beggar. Tell you, I don't know what's happening. This Ville is going...
Then the sec man wandered off along the corridor, leaving the main hallway of the house unguarded. Ryan moved from the black space beneath the staircase, followed by JB and Doc.
Sharp's got Emma, and he's taking her to his zoo.
And I fear that they have found the body of poor Mr. Morgan. We should hasten to release Jack from his imprisonment. He was becoming markedly fond of the young lady. If anything were to happen to her...
You said that the blasters were being kept in there?
J.B. pointed through the curtained archway toward the dining room.
What I heard them say. I confess that I would feel more comfortable with my Lamar holstered once more on my hip.
To Ryan's considerable surprise, the two guns lay unguarded on the table, exactly where Doc had been told. The old man picked up the gold-plated and engraved Lama and checked the action.